name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We read this morning from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and we hear Jesus speaking at the end of the old feast of Pentecost, the Pentecost of the Hebrew people. And at the end of that feast is when he said unto the people there, "All those of you who thirst, come to me and drink. And out of your heart will flow rivers of living water." Now the King James Version says, "Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." But if you go to the Hebrew, you find that referring to this part of the body, the central portion of the body, is a way of referring to the heart. And so if you read even the New King James Version, it doesn't say belly, it says heart. And that is the meaning of what he's saying. "Come unto me and drink, and out of your heart will flow rivers of living water." Those same rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus spoke to Photini, the Samaritan woman, about when he met her at the well. That is what he is promising, that if we come to him, out of our hearts will flow the life of God. The Holy Spirit of God will flow forth from our heart. That's what he's saying. The question is, what do we thirst for? Do we thirst for the things of the world? Is that what he's promising us? If we thirst for things of the world other than God, then even though it is true that what we actually desire is God, and we are spiritually disoriented, away from him, trying to fulfill a thirst that can only be filled by going to God, by instead turning to the things of the world. And we may be very comfortable in terms of the things of the world. But if those are the things that we really desire, if those are the things that really comfort us, then we're not part of the audience that Jesus is addressing at that Pentecost. "All ye who thirst, come to me, and he will satisfy us with this living water," that he spoke to Photini of. Among the Psalms, there is Psalm 42 that begins, "As a hart longs," and this is a deer, H-A-R-T. "As a hart longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for thee." And David is speaking of his longing for God. Now, David is not a perfect man, but it is God whom he longs for. Not the things of this world, not the satisfactions of lust and gluttony and revenge of anger, although he experienced all those things. Ultimately, he returns to God, and he pours out his heart to God in the Psalms, and those Psalms are filled with longing for God. And it is to him and all of those like him that Jesus is speaking. He may be speaking to us. If it is God that we long for, if our heart longs for the flowing streams of the living water, God himself, his life in us, then that's whom Jesus is addressing. Jesus said, "All of those who believe in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow these streams of divine life." The Blessed Theophylact says that those words, "he who believes as the scripture is written," is very important, because not all of us believe as the scripture has taught. Some of us, Theophylact says, have our own opinions, our own ideas, and we believe according to those opinions and ideas. And so we may have a belief in God, in Jesus Christ, in the Orthodox Church, that is not according to what is in Scripture. Now, of course, as Americans, especially in the South, as soon as we say according to Scripture, we're in danger of having somebody pop out a floppy Bible and say, "It says here," and then give us a reading. But that's not the kind of according to Scripture that we mean. What we mean is according to the whole fullness of Scripture. It's possible for us to leave the understanding and opinions of the world and enter into Scripture itself and gain its understanding. And we can't do that unless we long for God and He enables us to read in the Spirit of Scripture. And that is the same as the Holy Spirit of God. So those who have believed as the Scripture understands things, those are the ones who will be filled with these never-ending springs of life that burst forth from the heart and fill us with joy and comfort even in the midst of the presence of death in this world and sickness and suffering and all of those things that we have to go through. Now, those who are comforted by other things, they are comforted by those things. Metropolitan Anthony of Sorzo reminds us that Scripture refers to the Holy Spirit as the Paraclete, and that the word Paraclete, as is the case with many ancient languages, is a complex word. Not complex in the sense that it's difficult to understand, complex in the sense that it means more than one thing at the same time. It means comfort. It means strength. But the comfort that the Holy Spirit gives is the comfort of the one who has lost and longs for the presence of God. When we think about the first Pentecost, the first Christian Pentecost, we think about all of the apostles gathered together, the Theotokos and the disciples, waiting. This is a gathering of those who long for the presence of God. This is a gathering of those who have known Jesus Christ arisen from the dead and spent 40 days with him and seen him ascend to the right hand of the Father. And he promised that he would send the Comforter, the one who will be the presence of God, even though he is no longer in this world. And so they are longing for the presence of God. They're not just sitting there as representatives of this world and its way of understanding and with minds and hearts that are in accord with this world and its way of understanding. That's not at all who they are. They have been prepared. Where do you want to start? When Jesus called them? In the case of the Theotokos, when Gabriel came? They have been prepared by all of the events that have taken place from the beginning until that moment. Their hearts long for the presence of God. When a woman gives birth, there is this strange sense of loss of no longer having that life within herself. Even though the baby is right there, you know, and it's a strange thing. It's a kind of a mysterious thing. But to have living, developing life within yourself and then to give birth, there is a sense of loss. Jesus Christ is gone from Mary, his mother, from members of his extended family, his cousins, and all of those that he's related to, among all of the apostles, St. John, the beloved apostle. All of them have experienced this loss. The life that needs to be within them is not within them. And they await the coming of the Comforter. Not Comforter simply in the sense of comforting them for the loss of the presence of Jesus Christ. He will be present. He will be present through them. He will be present as he is with us at every divine liturgy. We celebrate his presence. We come, we receive, and share his body and his blood. We are one with him. A central part of the divine liturgy is the calling down of the Holy Spirit upon us. And so if there is going to be the community, the mystery, as Bishop Anthony of Sorzo calls it, the mystery of the church, the miracle of the church, the communion with God of all of us, at one with one another and at one with God. If that's going to happen, the Holy Spirit has got to come upon us and live from within us and fill us with the presence of God so that we can come forth and receive the body and blood of Christ, and we will be one with the Father as Jesus Christ is one with the Father. That's the whole point of everything. And Pentecost is the day when all has been accomplished all is complete. The communion with God that Jesus Christ took on our humanity and became a physical human being in order to make possible is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And we are the body of Christ. The ascended body of Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. It says in Matthew that when Jesus was first speaking of all of these things, of the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, Matthew mentions the Holy Spirit had not yet come. The Holy Spirit had not yet come because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Well, what does that mean? He had not yet been crucified. That's part of his glorification. Only God become man, the true King who created the world and comes into that world in order to destroy the power of death over the human beings that he had meant to be the heart of creation. Only he could accomplish that, as he does from the cross. And he reveals himself as God on the cross because he is destroying the power of death by dying, just as he will expect us to destroy the power of death over ourselves by doing the same thing, dying to the love of the world, dying to that longing for the world, and instead longing for the presence of God within us to fill us and make us whole and make us the human beings that God created for us to be. He was not yet glorified. But it doesn't mean just the crucifixion in isolation. It means the crucifixion, the resurrection, revealing the glorification of God, of our humanity. That's included. He was not yet glorified. It refers to Christ. It's not just referring to him as God. It is also referring to him in our humanity, because Jesus Christ is fully God and fully a human being. His glorification is the glorification of God by our humanity, through our humanity. The resurrection and the ascension, the glorification of God, the glorification of Jesus Christ, the glorification of our humanity, all at the same time. He is not yet glorified, and until that is accomplished, the Holy Spirit cannot yet be sent, because we are not yet prepared. The apostles, the disciples, the Theotokos, they are not yet prepared because he has not yet done all of the things that he is doing with our humanity. And now, on the day of Pentecost, when they gather together, all is ready. There's something that happens in the Gospel according to St. Matthew that we just read, right after Jesus says those words, promising the coming of divine life within us as human beings. There is a division because of him. One person says, this can't be right, he's from the wrong place. Another person says, well, it can't be right because of this, that, or the other thing. St. Matthew says there was a division among them because of him. There was no accord because of him. Exactly the opposite thing on the day of Pentecost, when the apostles, the disciples, the Theotokos are gathered together. They are, the book of Acts says, of one accord, of one mind. That doesn't just mean that there weren't any arguments or disagreements going on between them. Nobody was mad at anybody. Nothing had come up the way it does amongst us as a group of human beings. They were peaceful. They were all of one accord. No, it's more than that. Their minds, their hearts were prepared for the coming of God as a mighty wind to fill them all with the Holy Spirit. If we are going to receive the Holy Spirit, we have got to be prepared. Now, liturgically, the church has done all that can be done to prepare us. But it depends on us and the kind of participation that we have made through all of this, since the day that we talked about Zacchaeus desiring to see Christ and climbing the sycamore tree in order to see him. If we don't have Zacchaeus' desire, if we don't have David's desire, if we don't long for the presence of God, if this world is enough for us and we simply want God's help to put the icing on the cake for us, or the cherry on the top of the ice cream cone, if that's all it is to us, we're not prepared. We're not longing for the presence of God. We are not poor of spirit. But the apostles, the disciples, the Theotokos, they were, because they had lost him to the right hand of God. And true, he could rule the world from there, but that's not why he came. He could have done that. He came in order to transform us, to transform human life in this world, and to transform this whole world of creation through us. It's got to happen from within us. He has changed the world from within. It has been accomplished. There have been legions of saints in the last two millennia. God has accomplished all his purpose. The question is whether or not it includes us. Are we preparing ourselves to receive the divine life of God into us so that our lives can be lives of pouring forth the divine life of God himself? Because that's what we were created to do. That's what our life is all about. And on this day of the Holy Feast of Pentecost, let us consider all that might be necessary in order for us to undertake, so that we might prepare ourselves to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, not as a promise, as we did when we were chrismated, but as the apostles and the disciples and the Theotokos did on the first day of Pentecost, as all of the saints did, as all of those who truly love God do, all of those for whom he is their life and not the life of this world. Let us consider what we need to do in order to prepare to receive the Holy Spirit in power. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.